Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Pretty much everything in the center relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us. We just eclipsed almost 800,000 listeners here in the United States, and we're almost over, well, a little over 200,000 overseas. So thank you for sharing with your friends and associates. You know what? Today, we're going to be talking about taxes. You know what? We've got Craig Kisner here. He's going to talk about tax savviness, strategies, write-off, the things to do and don't do. You know, Craig, you know, besides having an MBA, is a nationally recognized author, speaker, retirement planner. You know, you've probably seen him on Kiplinger's, Fidelity, NASDAQ, AT&T, Yahoo Finance, MSN Money. I mean, he's a financial contributor for CBS, ABC, NBC, Fox, and many other places. So, you know what? He's an investment advisor representative. He's very, very well known, and he imparts some wonderful advice, and that's why we're having here today. So, Craig, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Steve. It's great to be here.
Now, I know you're a wealth advisor. You also handle taxes, so you're well-rounded there. So let's just kind of talk a little bit about, hey, why did Craig get into this business?
Well, that's a great question, Steve. So my dad, actually, it started with my dad. My dad founded our firm way back in 1972, and his story is quite interesting that when his dad was 8 years old, my grandfather was eight, and his dad was young, and he was only 8 years old. My grandfather was the owner of a auto parts business in Brooklyn. And when my grandfather's business partner died unexpectedly, my grandfather tried to take over the whole business, but he really didn't know anything about math or finances. The business failed, and unfortunately, Grandpa had a heart attack and passed away. So he left my dad with a very small checking account. And after age eight, my dad was very, very poor for many, many years with a single mom and a brother. And so he just decided he was never going to be like his dad. He was going to learn everything he could about math and finances. So way back in 1972, he started our financial planning and retirement planning business, and we've been doing this for 53 years. So that's kind of how we started and got into this business. And I grew up watching my dad and learning from my dad, and pleased to have him as a role model and a mentor.
Now that you've gotten into the business, we're talking about taxes. So let's talk about the do's and don'ts. You know, we still got a few weeks before people are filing out taxes, but like do's and don'ts, not only now, but you know, after tax season. Sure. What should people be doing? What shouldn't they be doing? Things like that.
Good. Well, first of all, I always have to disclaim that I'm not an accountant. So you definitely want to check with your tax professional before taking any action on any of the general ideas that Steve and I are going to talk about today. However, having said that, you know, our best guess is that our government has over $36 trillion in debt. So, and right now, income taxes are historically quite low. So obviously, nobody has a crystal ball. Mine's a little hazy. But the fact is that we think over time, that income taxes will probably rise to kind of offset some of these giant taxes the debt that somebody's going to have to pay, unfortunately. So the point is, we kind of are in the camp that taxes are probably going to be higher in the future, not lower, right? So what you want to think about, you know, from a tax planning standpoint, is really to know your tax brackets. You know, this is really important because some people make a lot of money. Some people don't, you know, and our system, this is kind of the tax brackets in America here. This is what we hand out to our clients. And the more you make, obviously, the higher the income tax you're going to pay, right? And so there's a whole slew of tax planning that should be done before retirement and, of course, during retirement, which we usually only work primarily with retirees. So mm-hmm. That's what we're going to talk about today.
Perfect. Hey, you know, one of the things I thought that was really interesting, you say, you know, we all expect taxes to go up. And I think people, you know, you hear different rhetoric from politicians, okay? Because if you go back to the last administration, they were talking about tax increases. This administration is talking about lowering it. Whether they happen or not, it's a different story. And what will the next administration do?
Well, that's the point. Yeah, nobody knows. We're cautiously optimistic that this administration will try to keep taxes at least the same for a while. I'm just saying at some point, we feel something's got to give, that taxes will probably go up.
I totally agree with that. So what I'm getting at, Craig, is, you know what? It's important to look at reducing and eliminating one of the things, which is like one of the top three things that erode a retirement, which is taxation.
Sure.
So the more money you got in your pocket, the better. So it's really important to understand those do's and don'ts and what you could do to reduce and eliminate taxation. That's the reason why Craig's here.
Yeah. So let's talk about one idea right off the bat. I mean, many of my clients, they're all retired millionaires typically, but almost everyone has some kind of IRA, whether it's a 401k or a 403b if you're a teacher, or a TDA or a TSA if you're a government employee, or just a regular IRA. So these are different types of plans where while you were working, you got a tax deduction on that, and then it grew tax deferred. But then every dollar you take out of all those buckets become fully taxable, right? And there's an old saying or a fable, you know, or a question. If you are a farmer, would you rather pay tax on the penny seeds or on the 8 foot tall wheat? And of course, you'd rather pay tax on the pennies, not the dollars, you know, clearly, right? But unfortunately, the IRA works the opposite. You get a very little tax deduction when you put it in. Maybe you put in $1,000 and you save $100 or let's say $200. But that $1,000, if it grows to $10,000, then you owe $2,000 or more of taxes, you know, just round number speaking, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the point, is that it's always good to pay tax on the pennies, not the dollars. And that's why many clients and people that have IRAs should look with their tax professional about doing what we call our SRI plan, which is our strategic Roth integration plan, where you say, I'm going to convert a part of my IRA today to Roth, okay? And I'm going to pay tax. I'm going to choose to pay tax today on my current tax bracket. And that's why it's important to know your brackets, where you fall. And if you fall in the lower brackets, you really want to think about this even more powerfully. But you're saying, I'm going to choose to pay tax today, and then I'm never going to pay tax again on all this money for the rest of my life, whatever it grows to. And my kids don't pay tax if I don't use the money. So you have that power of compounding interest over time, but it goes from a taxable bucket to tax-free. And obviously, no, nobody knows, but hopefully in the long run, it's worth a lot more than what you converted to originally.
Wow. So a Roth conversion. So when you're talking about strategic Roth conversions, looking at that, what are some of the things that people should be looking at, whether it makes sense for them?
Well, number one, they should look at their tax bracket, right? So if you and your spouse, or if you're a single person, and let's say you're in a 12% tax bracket, okay, which if you're a married couple, you know, it's roughly up to about $135,000 for a retiree. Let's say $135,000. If you have less than that in gross income, you know, you're still pretty much in a 12% tax bracket. And the reality is 12% is, in the big picture, a very, very low tax, you know. So that's if you happen to be in that 12% bracket, you know, that's like almost free money, you know, in my opinion. Then, of course, the tax brackets jump up to 22%. And then if you have more income, 24%. And then it goes all the way up to 37%, the highest. So knowing your tax bracket is very, very important to be able to know how much, if in any, you should be thinking about converting to Roth each year to maximize these buckets at different levels based on your financial situation to see what makes the most sense.
Okay, so what about, and this is coming from one of our viewers who said, you know what? He's got a couple million dollars, and he's got a little over $1 million in the IRA, and he's thinking about converting it all at once. Is that a prudent move? Now, obviously, it depends on their situation, but you know, if you look at that, $1.2 million, top tax brackets, federal, state, that's pretty stiff. So what would be some of the concerns or thoughts or questions that people should be asking if they're looking to do something like that?
So, you know, generally speaking, I'm not a big fan of massive Roth conversions, because like you said, you do a million, you're going to be in the 37% tax bracket on a big chunk of that money, which is pretty high. So for example, you know, if you're a married couple, retired, let's say over 65, you know, you could have about $430,000 a year of gross income and still be in a 24% tax bracket, $430,000. So if you have $1 million IRA, you know, within 3-4 years, even with some growth, you should be able to convert that fully and only pay 24% instead of 37%. So you're saving 13%. So I'm not a big fan of massive, you know, Roth conversions for that particular reason, unless, you know, maybe one of the spouses is going to die soon and we're going to lose that exemption. They're married now, but one person, the husband or wife's going to die very shortly. Then maybe you do faster Roth conversions. But for the average person, you know, you don't really have to do it in 1 year unless that, you know, makes sense to you, when you can take advantage of the, let's say, the 24% bracket for a couple of years. And that could save you, you know, 13% in taxes alone.
Oh, that was great, Craig. Hey, folks, we're going to be back with more Craig Kisner here and some tax reduction strategies. So stick with us. We'll be right back with more Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. I have Craig Kisner here of Kisner Wealth. We're talking about tax reduction strategies and things like that. And you know what, Craig, I know from our last segment, we're talking about Roth conversions, but what are the three or four reasons why somebody would want to do a Roth conversions? Because they're not right for everybody.
Correct. So the three main reasons we feel Roth conversions make sense for, certain people. Number one, you know, we are concerned that income taxes in the future due to our debt could be higher than they are today. So if you take advantage of today's taxes, you know, then you're not going to have to worry about it in the future. That's number one. Number two, obviously, once you convert it, it's tax-free growth forever. No required minimum distributions while you're alive. So that's very helpful. Number two. Number three, let's say you're a husband and wife, which many of my clients are married. They are joint taxpayers. But at some point, one of the two, and typically it's the husband, does pass away typically before the wife. And I've looked at the numbers, the taxes that a single person would pay on the same income versus joint could be three times higher than what that joint couple paid. So if you pay those taxes now, then you don't have to worry about in the future your spouse, because, you know, let's say it's the wife, she can use that Roth IRA money after you're gone, the husband, and, you know, with no taxes. So you're doing planning now to protect the surviving spouse, which is a big deal, you know, there. And then the last reason is your children, that if you leave the IRA to your children, there's no more stretch IRA. You have to take out all your IRA money in just 10 years after you die. Your children only have 10 years to eliminate your IRA and to pay tax over a 10-year period. And they might still be working, so they might be in a higher tax bracket than you as a retiree. And also, if they live in a state that has state income tax, they'll have to pay that state income tax as well, where you might be in a state that doesn't have state income tax. So those are the main kind of four reasons that you would think about doing Roth conversions.
Oh, that's great. And I'd actually love to make sure more and more states become no state taxes, but we know that's not going to occur.
Right. Probably not.
So, you know what? We had a large number of viewers and listeners were asking about qualified charitable distributions and donor advice funds.
Sure.
Could you walk into that and how that works and how people people can utilize that for their betterment?
Sure. Well, let's start with the easier one to understand. It's a qualified charitable distribution, which is also known as a QCD. And essentially, it's very simple. If you're over a certain age, let's say you're of RMD age, right? And let's say you've got to take out $10,000 for your RMD this year, right? If you take the $10,000 out, pay taxes, let's say you keep $8,000, and you can give that $8,000 to charity, for example, you know, just as an example, you're charitably inclined, right? So you donate that $8,000 to your church or your temple or whatever charity you like, animals, you know, kids, what, feeding the homeless, whatever you want to, you know, care about, veterans, whatever, you know, what's important to you. If you give that $8,000, that's great because the charity gets the $8,000. But if you took out $10,000, paid taxes, and the charity only gets $8,000, what's left after taxes, right? What a QCD is very simple. It says, let's say your money's at Fidelity, for example. You can literally have Fidelity write a check directly to that charity for the $10,000, okay? And what's amazing is that the full $10,000 goes to the charity and you pay zero tax on that $10,000 because it's a QCD, a qualified charitable distribution. So you give the $10,000 directly from Fidelity. It can't touch your bank account. It has to go directly from your brokerage account, in this example, Fidelity, to the charity. And that way they get the full $10,000. You've satisfied your required minimum distribution of $10,000, but you pay zero tax on that $10,000 distribution. So you save $2,000 in taxes.
Okay, so let me just set this scenario for you, and I just need you to confirm this. So for example, I have a $20,000 required minimum distribution. I've got dividends and capital gains. I've got Social Security, a little bit of a pension. My income is just a little bit over that 12% threshold. And I know that if you're in a 12% tax bracket, your dividend and capital gains are tax-free. So what you're saying is, if we were to send, say, $5,000 directly to the charity out of the 10, and it brought us under that 12%, my dividends and capital gains would be tax-free and I'd save a bunch of money in taxes?
If your accountant confirms that, yes, but that is essentially how that works.
That's wonderful. I mean, that's great because you know what? You could give to a charity and still save a whole bunch of money in taxes. That's great. Right. Not just from the fact you're not paying it from the required minimum distribution, but from other things. I mean, that's a wonderful thing. Okay, so keep going. This is great.
Great. So let's talk about another tax planning strategy called a donor advised fund, a donor, DAF, donor advised fund. Okay, let's say you are charitably inclined. And let's say you're not of RMD age yet. You're in your 60s, you know, but pre-age 73. So let's say you're still in your 60s. You do like to donate to charity. Let's say $10,000 a year, for example. However, most Americans, because they don't own businesses, let's say, they take what's called the standard tax deduction, the standard deduction, right? And this year, the standard deduction per person is $15,000. For a couple, it's $30,000. So unless you have expenses that are deductible over $30,000 as a couple, you're going to just take the standard deduction. And the fact is, most people do. Unless you own a business like I do and like Steve does that has write-offs and expenses, you know, then we have to itemize everything. But for, you know, the average American, I believe that most just take a standard deduction because it's much higher than it ever was, right? Mm-hmm. So if you donate to charity, let's say you donate $10,000, you're not allowed to deduct that $10,000 because you've taken the standard deduction of $30,000, okay? So what we do is set up a donor advised fund. So I'm going to use Fidelity as an example. I use them and Schwab as the custodians, but Fidelity has a donor advised fund charitable department that you could set up your own personal charity. So let's say, you know, it's the Steve Sexton Family Donor Advised Fund. And essentially what you do is you set up a charity, a charitable fund at Fidelity, and you say to, you know, you decide who benefits, which organizations benefit from that donation, that fund, that charity, right? And essentially it works like this. It's very simple. Is that, let's say you normally give $10,000 a year to charity, and like I said, you can't deduct that $10,000 by taking the standard deduction, right? So what we do is we have you donate 5 years of gifts, $50,000 today, to your donor advised fund, okay? And so you get a tax deduction because that's over your standard deduction of $30,000. You can itemize and say, I made a $50,000 donation to charity, because once you give it to this charity, you can't get it back, you know, but it was money you were going to give over the next 5 years anyway. You were going to give $10,000 a year, you know, for 5 years, right? And so that allows us to itemize this year, get the full $50,000 tax deduction for a legitimate charitable donation to your family charitable foundation. And you've prepaid the next 5 years of charitable donations. So you're investing the money for the next 5 years. You dole out the $10,000 a year to whoever charities you want every year. And then at the end of the 5 years, we start the whole process over. There's no money in the bucket. You put another $50,000 in, you itemize your deductions that year and do the same thing. And that way you can actually take advantage of the tax deductions of the large donation in one shot.
Oh, that's great. I didn't know about that. Is there a certain asset limit or anything like that that people would want to look at if they're looking to do a donor advice fund?
No, it just has to be, to make sense, it has to be over the standard deductions so that you can itemize your deductions this year. I mean, if you only give $1,000 or $2,000 to charity, you know, it's not going to really move the needle. But for people that are normally charitably inclined, that give, let's say, $10,000 or more to charity, and you can't afford to make that gift of $50,000 today, knowing you're going to give the charities $50,000 over the next 5 years, that's where it really is geared to. And here's the other cool thing. Let's say you have stock that's done very, very well, right? And obviously, this first quarter of this year, 2025, has been rough, you know, for the stock market. But let's say you want to give stock, which is really cool. And let's say you bought it very low a long time ago, and now it's worth a lot more. Let's say it's worth $50,000 of whatever stock, Apple, for example. Let's say you bought Apple a long time ago, and it's done real well, even though there's been a rough quarter, first quarter of the year. But let's say it's worth $50,000. You can donate the $50,000 of stock, Apple stock, into your foundation. You can sell that Apple stock and pay zero capital gains because it's a gift inside the charitable donation fund foundation. And so you've saved, let's say, maybe, I don't know, 20% of $50,000, $10,000 in taxes on the sale. And then you get deduction of the $50,000, which you get to realize, which also helps if you're doing Roth conversions. You can use those extra deductions to be able to convert more, which is another part of the strategy as well. And then every sixth year when it runs out of money, we just start the whole process again.
That's wonderful. Hey, you know what, folks? Stick with us. We're going to be right back with more Craig Kirsner.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. I truly want to thank you for tuning in and sharing with your friends and family. All the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information that's coming from Craig and other guests, I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Never miss a show. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, AM FM Radio, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Network. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal and financial freedom. Also, you can go to the Saving with Steve Sexton page for backstage stuff, things you wouldn't see that aren't edited. People love those. Plus, you can get guest gifts and so on. Now, back to the show. We have Craig Kirsner. He's talking about taxes. You know what, Craig, there's a lot of things people can do to reduce and eliminate taxation. So let's just start right there. So what are some of the things that we could do that people are just listening like, oh, I didn't think I should do that. And the reality could make a big difference in their life.
Sure. So number one, you can set up what's called a health savings account, an HSA account. And if you're under age 65, and essentially it allows you to put away money tax deductibly for the future to pay medical expenses. It's a health savings account. So that way, if insurance won't cover it, you can use this money to pay those expenses, and it's tax deductible up front, and it's available to cover those expenses at the end. Now, if you're an individual, you can only put away $4,300 a year, but it's still better than nothing. And if you're a family, you can put away $8,550 this year. And if you're over age 55, you can put an extra $1,000 a year per person. So that is a way to get another tax deduction today and be able to pay for future health expenses using a health savings account.
So here's a question, Craig, on health savings accounts. Let's say, hey, you've been contributing this and really not using it. Now you're 65, can't contribute anymore. Is there a way where people can roll that into their IRA because it's grown tax deferred, or do they just have to use it for medical expenses?
Well, yeah, after age 65, it's designed to use tax-free for medical expenses. So that's what you really want to do. And obviously, as you get older, you're going to have more and more medical expenses not covered by insurance. So yeah, it's earmarked for tax-free use for health insurance post-65. And it's one extra tool in the quiver to possibly save taxes.
What are the other things that we can do?
Sure. So a couple of things are municipal bonds are tax-free. You know, this is where you lend money to a government or a city, and the interest they pay you is tax-free. Now, having said that, unless you're in a pretty high tax bracket, let's say 32% or more, I don't think it makes a lot of sense, because obviously being tax-free income, the municipality is going to be paying you less interest. So they're really designed for people that have, you know, over $400,000 or $500,000 or more of income that do want to earn interest tax free. Now, as a caveat, obviously a lot of municipalities are having, not a lot, but a chunk of municipalities are having financial challenges, or could have more financial challenges with underfunded pensions and other liabilities that they have. So you have to be real careful when it does come to municipal bond investing, but it is a technique that would give tax-free interest over time.
That's good. That's wonderful. Now, okay, so I think you talked about something called tax loss harvesting. How does that work?
Yes, tax loss harvesting is a very interesting concept. And essentially what it does is we look at our clients' portfolios throughout the year, but also we do it again in December. And so what we do is we say in December, are there any positions that are losing money for whatever reason? You know, thankfully, so are there any positions that are losing money? So if you sell that position that's losing money, you can sell a winning position, and though that loss and gain offset each other. That's called tax loss harvesting. So you can sell some of your winners and take some profits and pay zero tax as you booked a loss and booked a gain at the same time. So that's called tax loss harvesting within the year. And that could be a technique to minimize taxes.
That's wonderful. What other things do you have?
Well, annuities, for example, are tax deferred. They're also creditor protected. So any interest earned within an annuity are tax deferred. We could have a whole, you know, session on annuities. They're bad, in my opinion, bad annuities and good annuities. I'm not a big fan of variable annuities, for example. And people often ask me, they say, Craig, why don't you like variable annuities? And there are two main reasons. One, they often have more risk than my clients typically want to take. And number two, the hidden fees in variable annuities can be quite high. So higher risk, higher fees. So I don't like variable annuities, but there are types of fixed and guaranteed annuities that do offer tax deferred growth, so you can control when you want to pay taxes in the future.
That's wonderful. And so on a tax deferred basis, that really, for those people who don't understand, what you're saying is they can put their money in there. Let's say it made $8,000 this year, like a CD will send you the a 1099 for $8,000, but the annuity, it just stays in there. You don't get anything. until you start withdrawing it. So essentially, you could have it in there for a whole decade and not pay taxes on any of the growth.
Exactly. Very good.
Okay, so that could make a big difference.
You're earning interest on money you would have paid to the government, so you're compounding even faster. Correct.
Okay. No, that's wonderful, because I can see how that could be beneficial, especially if you're looking to reduce taxes. Or you talked about doing Roth conversions earlier, and hey, you know what? If we're got a whole bunch of money sitting in CDs that's earning 2 or 3%, maybe you could earn more money, but go tax deferred while you're taking the IRA money and converting it, because maybe that, you know, what, $10,000 or $15,000 of interest won't show up on your tax return while you're doing the conversion, which would be beneficial. Is that correct?
That's 100% correct. Exactly. We want to really maximize these buckets, the tax buckets. And so if you can shield some of the interest that you would have paid taxes on, that means you could potentially do more Roth conversions. Very good. Yes, Steve.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay. So what else can people do?
So another thing would be, you know, just generally speaking, I'm not a big fan. Let's say you get a tax refund every year. I'm not a big fan of tax refunds from the government, because all that means is that you overpaid them all throughout the year and gave them an interest-free loan. Because when they give you that money back, that's your money, your tax money that you overpaid, and they don't pay you any interest for doing that. So the goal is to work with your accountant to make sure that you're not overpaying on taxes during the year. The ideal is to have a zero balance at the end of the year and not give the government free money for a whole year to borrow, to use without any interest.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I was having this discussion with one of our friends in our pickleball group. And he loves a big tax return. And then I said, I don't get it. You just got $10,000 back, but all you really did is overpay the federal government.
Right.
And you got no interest for the whole year. And you got to fill out a form to get your $10,000 back. And you might get that back in May.
Right.
So you basically got 16, 18 months where you're getting nothing on your $10,000. Well, right. If you just got 5%, wow.
Yeah, I know. It's like
not, and then all he looked at me, he looked at me and says, never thought of it like that.
So true, Steve. So true.
And it was just surprising to me. I was like, oh my God, because I don't believe in paying any more than I have to. In fact, the way I look at it is, if I pay $100, that's fine. If I owe $100, that's fine. Any more than that, no way. So that's a great tip, Craig. Hey, look, folks. Stick with us. We're going to be right back with more Craig Kersner here talking about tax stuff. You know what? Next, I'm going to ask Craig, since he does wealth management, you know what? We've got a lot of disruptions that's happening and uncertainty that's happening in the world today, especially with the plans the current administration has. And I want to get political, but you know what? People have that uncertainty. It creates doubt. There's volatility that's created by all sorts of things. So when Craig comes and we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about that. So stick with us and we'll be right back.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. We're talking to Craig Kersner. We've been talking about tax stuff. But right now, you know what? You know how volatile, you know what's going on in the market. Tons of uncertainty. In fact, everywhere you turn, uncertainty, uncertainty, uncertainty. For some people, uncertainty means doubt. It means volatility, unpredictability. It seems like things are, they don't know what to do. So especially in this environment, this economic environment, I think it's important to talk to a professional like Craig, who's been there and done that for decades, of how to deal with this time, what to be looking at, so you don't make bad decisions that could adversely affect not your lifestyle, your heirs, and all that kind of good stuff. So Craig, I'm going to just open it up. You know, I'd love to hear your initial thoughts and we can go from there.
Sure. So obviously, the first quarter of 2025 has been quite a rocky quarter. We kind of expected it just because when any change, especially, you know, the new administration comes in and they start talking about things like tariffs and stuff, these are not really good things overall for the economy. However, having said that, we do feel that over the next month or two, that they're going to work out their tariff, you know, differences, that they're going to come to a happy medium so everyone's happy, and that over the next month or two, while it might still be a bit rocky, they'll work out these tariff issues and that'll be good for the economy, and that the economy and the market will still finish strong for 2025. So that's our, you know, big picture guess. Obviously, my crystal ball is a little hazy right now, but that's what we do believe is going to happen in 2025. So that's number one. And number two, these drops in the market are actually very good planning opportunities for proactive planners like us. And so let me give you an example. Let's say you own Apple stock in an IRA, for example, or any stock that's highly, you know, that's done very well. And over the last 2 months, it might be down 20% like Apple is, or just, you know, for example, right? Let's say Apple was now at $200 a share and it was, $250, let's say, right? What you can do if you did want to do that Roth conversion is that you can take that $200 Apple stock and move that from your IRA directly to your Roth IRA, okay? So let's say you wanted to do a $50,000 Roth conversion this year, just as an example. You can move $50,000 of that beat up Apple stock into the Roth IRA. And that way you're taking advantage of today's $50,000 of value. And if that Apple stock goes up from $200 higher, all the growth is forever tax-free and you're getting it essentially at a discount, a 20% discount at the value, because you get to use today's value to do the Roth conversion.
That's wonderful. You know what? Most people don't think about that. Right now, they're worried about everything going down. When they actually, I agree with you, they should take advantage of the opportunity, because if you could buy something that's at a 20% discount, I mean, it's like, you know, it's like going to your store and instead of paying, you know, $500 for a purse, you're paying $250. That's wonderful. And that's all you're telling is, hey, taxes are on discount, so take advantage of it. Not only that, the stock's on discount from what I understand, so take advantage of that too.
Yes. If you believe that stock's going to keep going higher, now's a great time to essentially buy low. So you're converting and then forever tax-free growth after that. It's a very powerful potential tool there to use.
What else should people think about right now?
One of the most important things in retirement is to really be diversified. A couple of rules in retirement typically are to never have more than 5% of your portfolio in one position. You know, that's a very good rule of thumb. Another rule of thumb is that there are 11 sectors. The S&P 500 is one of the biggest barometers of the stock market. And there are 11 sectors in the S&P 500. Okay. And it's good. And it's a good rule of thumb to never have more than 20% of your money in one sector of the S&P 500. Now, I know over the last 15 years, technology has done very, very well and much better than the other sectors. So right now, you might be in a position where your technology exposure is very high. And if that's the case, unfortunately, over the last month, just like you did in 2022 and 2008, you know, you got crushed, you know, or getting crushed, unfortunately, you know, losing probably way more than you're comfortable with. But that's how that works. If you're going to be in the most aggressive sector and enjoy the good times, the markets do go down very, very quickly. So it is important not to have too much exposure to any one sector, such as technology.
You know what? So basically what you're saying is for those people whom, for example, are overweight in the tech sector, because obviously they're overvalued and we've seen them shoot up just tremendously over the last couple of years. When things like this hit, the things that are overvalued are the first to get hit. And as opposed to maybe reducing your lifestyle, just changing that strategy a little bit so you don't have that much concentration there, so you're not going to get hit as hard. Is that basically?
That's exactly it. And what's important is really your age and stage of life. I mean, if you're watching this in your 20s or 30s or 40s, you know that's not as a concern because you have 20 or 30 years before you need the money. But when you get into your 50s and 60s and 70s, obviously principal preservation and preserving your wealth becomes a lot more important. So that's really where it becomes even more important that you're not too more aggressive than you're comfortable with. And you also want to keep a certain amount of, you know, fixed assets, fixed income, safer assets to balance out the stocks. And as you get more into retirement, you want to have more safer assets and less risky assets as a general rule, you know, because most of my clients are leaving the high growth at all cost stage and they're entering into their income stage where they want preservation of principal and income. And it's a whole different mindset. And what's interesting is that they've done studies of mountain climbers. And what's interesting is that most mountain climbers actually get injured on the way down the mountain, not on the way up. You'd think it's the opposite because the up seems harder and tired and scary. But no, people are very cautious and careful on the way up when they're climbing a mountain. But on the way down, they can make mistakes, they can get tired, and they can easily slip and fall. So it's really important for a retiree who's on the way down the mountain, the last, you know, past 50, 55, 60, you know, as far as, you know, their time to come back from a big loss. They don't want to have those big tumbles and have to, you know, typically have to lose 30 or 40 or 50%. They don't want to be in that position at this age and stage of life.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to put your lifestyle at risk. Nobody wants to stop doing the things they want to do in retirement. And like you said, it sounds like it just makes a little sense. Hey, if you change your strategy, which probably doesn't cost anything, you could be in a better situation. Right. So let's talk a little bit. We've got about 3 minutes left. Let's talk about estate planning because that's a big thing nowadays.
Sure. So this is a big deal. So I'm not an attorney. So obviously, again, as a disclaimer, talk to your attorney. But I've been licensed since 1994, and we typically only work with retired millionaires. And what's important to them is that when they leave their money to their children, what we do is have our attorneys make revocable trusts that they call revocable dynasty trusts. And what these trusts do are very simple, is that when the husband or wife dies and leaves the money to their child or children, let's say, and just for example, their child, the trust that gets set up can be 100% protected from lawsuits and protected from creditor claims and divorce. Divorce is a big one. So these are bulletproof trusts that get set up for your children after you're gone that protect from lawsuits and creditor claims and divorce.
Craig, we're coming to the end of our time. If people want to reach out to Craig Kirzner and the Kirzner Wealth Group, how do they get a hold of you?
Very simple. You can check out our website. We're at KirznerWealth.com, K-I-R, S as in Sam, N as in Nick, E-R, wealth.com. Or call my office at 1-800-807-5558, 1-800-807-5558. If you're in the Boca Raton or Fort Lauderdale area, we do dinner workshops at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse and Abe and Louie's a few times a month. So you're welcome to come and have a steak dinner and listen to myself and the attorney talk about and other team members talk about our estate plan and financial planning updates.
Oh, great. Hey, folks, reach out to Craig. He's been a wonderful help for you today. And obviously, this has been useful and beneficial. I think it's been wonderful. So, Craig, thanks for being with us today. We'll look forward to possibly having you back in the future. And stay safe, stay healthy.
Thank you.
We'll be right back with us here on Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey folks, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Well, it's been a week or so since the big shot was fired. You know, the markets got wobbly, the global economy's been dazed, and now we wait for the possible counters. However, this is what we do know. Like I've been saying, these tariffs will hit overvalued tech stocks the hardest. And we saw that early on with the NASDAQ, and it was down 4%, Apple's down 7%. And right now the Fed, which used to be focused on rate cuts for economic slowdown purposes, are now under the gun on how they'll approach the inflation that's going to be put forth from these tariffs and the economic slowdown. For foreign investors currently holding $7.8 trillion of U.S. government bonds, the question is, how will they react? Uncertainty and volatility will be the forefront of the day. Folks, you and I will need to get used to this volatility, because this volatility will be with you and I for the foreseeable future. Now, if for some reason you're in your 40s, 50s, 30s, 20s, you know what? The word uncertainty right now doesn't quite resonate with you, because you are dollar cost averaging. You're continuing to contribute that money into the account, because when stocks are down, like Apple's down 20%, hey, you could buy it at a discount. That's wonderful. You want to do that. When the stock's up, you buy less. When the stock's down, you buy more. And with dollar cost averaging, the whole theory behind it is about you contributing in time. The other thing that's important is you don't touch the money. So this isn't the time where you go start taking out money, paying off debts. This is the time where you have the opportunity to accumulate more, so the value of what you've accumulated becomes higher in the future. Now, if for some reason you're in your 60s, 70s, and 80s are listening to this, okay? Hey, you're entering in the distribution phase, or you're already there. And you could see the big word tariff. When you hear the word tariff, every time you hear the word tariff, what happens to the market? The reality is, before the current administration was in there, there were signs. I mean, the Magnificent Seven were down 12%. Employment figures were slow. Geopolitical uncertainty is still there. The country is already going down a different path. You know, all that the word tariff did was just pour some gas on an already lit fire. And the tariffs aren't going away, because tariffs will be vitally important to this administration's tax plan. You keep hearing government officials, they tell you, hey, you got to endure some pain. And, you know, it's going to be uncomfortable times moving forward. Okay. The question to you is, why? Why should you work 20, 30, 40 years to get where you are today, to be asked to put your lifestyle on hold or not do the things you want or experience some kind of discomfort? Because the fact of the matter is, at a retirement age, if you're in the distribution phase of life, you have a choice to maintain your lifestyle and not to endure this pain. Nothing says you have to participate in this discomfort. As you heard Craig and myself in my 20 years in business, one of the most mind-boggling things is how easy it is for an individual to change their life, delay what they want, change their lifestyle in retirement, because you know you simply just need to make a strategy change. Folks, this is the time that you really want to think about what you're doing. Have those conversations with people like Craig Kirstner. Just as Craig talked a lot of it before, all you nearly need to do is change your strategy a little bit. So I encourage you to talk with your financial professional, your tax professional, your estate professional. Make sure your money's in the right position to support and maintain your lifestyle. Now, I want to thank you all for joining us today, again, here on Saving with Steve. I truly appreciate you tuning in and letting your friends and families know about the show. All the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. And if you're enjoying the stories of helpful information and insight on Saving with Steve, then I encourage you to subscribe to your YouTube channel. Never miss a show. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio, New York City, AM/FM, 24 AM/FM, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV networks. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal financial freedom. Again, also go to the Saving with Steve Sexton Facebook page, where you can get all the replays, behind the scenes stuff, guest gifts, and so on. I want to thank you all for joining us today. We'll look forward to seeing you next time right here on Saving with Steve.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton.